Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. Always feel free to get in touch with me. You can write to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even DM me through the @CathSportsRadio Instagram account or send a private message through the Facebook page. There are links to those social media accounts and Twitter as well on the show website, catholicsportsradio.net, where you can also sign up for free for the new weekly e-newsletter. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Whether an athlete, a coach, or a fan, we all know how much emotion is involved in sports, no matter which one that is or what level it's played at. There are games that are heartbreaking for the losing team. There are moments, sometimes one play, that are just so, so difficult to get over. Certainly when an opponent does something that leads to tempers boiling over, we know how tremendously challenging that can be. And of course, when it's the biggest game there is, an opportunity to be the champion, coming up short of victory can bring on emotions that seem like you're just not going to be able to shake. It's going to sound like easier said than done, but it is vital in all of these cases that we let God's word win out in the end. In the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4 gives us words of wisdom to guide us in these scenarios that I've been describing. As verses 26 and 27 tell us, quote, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun set on your anger, and do not leave room for the devil." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Cleveland Browns, and Kansas City Chiefs after having been a second-round pick in the 2007 NFL draft by Tampa Bay. He had played his college football at Oregon State, playing in 50 games for the Beavers in his 4 years there. Back in his high school days, he not only was the Boca Raton News Defensive Player of the Year and Team MVP, but he also lettered 4 years in baseball as an outfielder. Following his NFL career, he went on to pro wrestling, first with WWE and then with AEW. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Sabby Piscatelli.
Thank you, man. It's a privilege and an honor to be on your show. I really, really am excited and grateful to be on the show.
Likewise, likewise. I'm looking forward to this. Let's see how I did in my research. Did you attend St. Joan of Arc Catholic School in Boca Raton as a young boy?
Absolutely. I don't know where you went deep in the archives to get that. Yes, I did. I went to St. Joan of Arc all the way from kindergarten through eighth grade, went to a private school, grew up in a Catholic household, went to church every Sunday. So, that was a great, great part of my life, taught me so much, and I wouldn't trade it for the world, and I think it really molded me into the man I am today, carried my faith, through high school, college, and into the pros and the professional ranks, and it's something I'm very proud of, and I'm excited that I was really born in the Catholic community.
Well, I see it because despite my big Polish last name, I'm actually half Italian, so I can literally envision the same as probably what you experienced. But share with us anyway about that household that you described, meaning brothers, sisters, how many of you were there? And I assume that this was all in Boca, since I mentioned that as the location of the school and the...
Yes, sir. I grew up in Boca. It was a five of us, mom, dad, brother, sister. It's five of us total. I have an older sister, younger brother. Younger brother's name is Sean. My older sister's name is Sabrina. My dad's Sabby, so I'm Sabby Jr. And then my mom's name's Diane. We were very, very, very tight family. 5 o'clock dinner every single night, sat down. The old Italian tradition, my dad straight off the boat from Italy at 11 years old.
Wow.
Church every Sunday.
Wow.
Good structure, very good discipline, very family oriented. Things that I thought were very important that I feel like some people are getting away from today is just, family dinners, no phones, just communicating with your family, how your day was, talking about your day, and having that time to really sit down and become close with your brother, sister, you know, mother, father. And that's something that, you know, my parents took extreme pride in and doing that as we were growing up. So that was a big, big thing for me. And, you know, I don't think I can really count on one hand how many times I went out to dinner. We always cooked at home, and my mom liked that, you know, home cooking time for the family. And I think that really, really helped us grow and kept us close to the family.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I see it. I felt like you were describing the household that I grew up in. I mentioned baseball and football in the intro as far as high school participation. Were those the first and maybe the quote-unquote only sports that you played? And when did you start to lean more towards football than baseball, and why?
That's a great question. Growing up, I played every sport, every single sport. I loved it. That's all I wanted to do. That's all I wanted to do was be a pro athlete. And ironically, the last sport I picked up was football. And I didn't start playing till I was 17.
So wow.
The story is very interesting. And it's crazy because when I was in the NFL, you know, I would say 97 to 98% of all NFL players probably start at the age of 7, or if not before.
Wow.
So when I said I was 17, that was something that was a lot of people didn't believe. So, but that being said, like I said, I played every sport. My dad took me to every single practice every night, and I played all of them. I used to even swim in the summer to stay in shape. Baseball was probably my first love. Fell in love with baseball. I thought I was going to be a professional athlete in baseball. That was my goal. I came into high school. I fell in love with it. My high school team and my high school coach wasn't the best fit or situation for my baseball career, I felt like. So I started playing football my junior year. And I was just a kid out there running around, didn't know much, just an athlete. And the way it works in high school, to get recruited for the next level, you really got to have a really good junior year, because going into your senior year, they'll be watching you. But see, I was a nobody my junior year. I was the guy out there running around, so nobody really knew who I was.
Wow.
So my senior year, I kind of blew up. I blew up like almost like that saying, too little, too late. You know, I got defensive player of the year in South Florida, and I had zero big scholarship offers at the time. And that was a struggle because I fell in love with football, but I was like, okay, I'm getting recruited for the pros for baseball out of high school. And I had the Orioles, and I think the Orioles and the Red Sox have been basically every one of my practices.
Wow.
But I knew in my heart I wanted football. So that being said, I was blessed to play both. But to answer your question, God really made it easy for me. God, you know, I didn't want to have to sit there and pick and choose and know which one I needed to do and which one I wanted to do. You know, God just kind of really showed me the answer. I prayed on him. He gave me the opportunity to play big-time college football at Oregon State, and it was a very smooth transition, say the least. And I knew I was all in. I fell in love with it. I wanted to get my foot in the door, and I wanted to become one of the best safeties to ever play in the position. And I just had that passion. I had the work ethic already, which was really good, right? So just from growing up playing every sport. So that was to answer your question. I didn't really have to sit and make a decision. I think God opened the door that he wanted me to go through.
Okay, but as blessed as you were to get that opportunity to play at Oregon State, in my research, I turned up, it sounds like you had a number of offers in a span of 1 week. Now, granted, it sounds like this was very late, but clearly Oregon State is where you were meant to go.
So, that's funny you say that, because to go back to what I said, you kind of got to blow up your junior year to get recruited. So all of a sudden, people started realizing, saw my film, and they were like, wow, this kid hasn't got a scholarship yet. Where did this kid come from? And what happened was Dennis Erickson, who was a big-time college coach at the time, big name, very successful.
Yeah.
He used to coach at the Miami Hurricanes. He was a very big name, and he called me. It's a true story. He called me in about the middle of, I think, February it was. It was ready. Signing day was done. All the scholarships were pretty much out. And he was watching my highlight film. Somebody personally walked in his office and gave him my highlight film. And he was halfway through the film, and he called me. And he said, Savvy, this is Dennis Erickson. Pleasure to meet you. He goes, I have one question for you. He goes, what is wrong with you? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, I'm watching your highlight film, and I can't figure out why you don't have a full scholarship to somewhere. He goes, what's wrong with you? And I made a joke, and I said, well, I'm a white safety. And he started laughing. I was a white DB. But then I said, no, seriously, coach. I said, you know, I didn't start playing football until last year. And he couldn't believe it. So he says to me, he said, listen, Savvy, I don't have any scholarships left. Obviously, we're past signing day. Back then, there was a rule. You only can call a high school recruit one time a week. He's like, I'm going to call you every week, and I'm going to figure something out.
Wow.
So he called me every single Tuesday.
Wow.
For about 3 months. 3 months, Dennis Erickson called me every Tuesday. All of a sudden, I get a phone call from him late May, early June, and he says, we're flying you out here for official visit tomorrow. Get on the plane. I get on the plane. I go to Oregon State. I'm sitting in his office, and he says to me, our number one recruit couldn't pass the SATs, so his scholarship is vacant, and it's yours.
Wow.
And at that moment, I was extremely grateful, and that's all I needed was that opportunity. And the funny thing was, that week, when I flew to Oregon, I had like five or six offers out of nowhere because they realized I wasn't signed yet by nobody.
Yeah.
But I wanted to stay loyal to a coach that called me every week, and I wanted to stay loyal to a coach that, you know, gave me a tremendous opportunity. And, you know, it was exciting. It was exciting. I was under the radar. I was, you know, nobody knew who I was. I came from Florida, which all the way across the country, literally you can't really go any farther across the country. I went from one corner to the other, and it was, the best blessing and the best decision I've ever made in my life. I can definitely say that in this moment of my life.
Well, and I love when I get these moments on this show when I literally get chills at something that a guest says. And Savvy, you just did it twice in the span of one answer, which was first just kind of the way that God was working in that and the way that the whole, the SAT scores weren't there. We now have a scholarship for you. I mean, that's, you have to be looking for the Lord's hand in that it was his plan the whole time. But number two, I got so charged up when you said, I wanted to be loyal to this coach who was calling me continuously. And that means so much because I think a lot of people would just jump at the first chance. Oh my gosh, this other school is calling me. They have something. And instead you said, look, this guy's been loyal to me. I'm going to be loyal to him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That was exactly it, to be honest with you.
So you mentioned this. You were a long, long way from home when you're at Oregon State. A lot of guests come on this show and they say to me, yeah, once I wasn't under the watchful eye of mom and dad anymore and away at college, I fell away from my faith. So did you actually continue, say, going to Mass, Savvy, for example, when you were away at college? Or was it a case of, man, I was just all about football, football, football at that point so I could hopefully go on to the NFL?
I never got away from my faith. Absolutely not from the faith part. I don't ever go to bed without getting on my two knees, and I pray every single night. I never get under my covers until I, you know, thank the Lord for the beautiful day and where he put me.
Wow.
And I usually say a prayer in the morning as well. That being said, when I went to college, and your schedule's so crazy, and this is not an excuse, you know, it's not an excuse, but you know, especially during season, you play on Saturdays, you practice on Sundays, you have meetings all day. So I didn't go to church as much as I liked, if that's how I could answer that.
Yeah.
I don't think I would ever say that I lost my faith by any means. Every time I played a game, I would tape my wrist white and I would draw a black cross on my tape. And that carried me all the way through the pros. There wasn't a game that I did not have the black cross on my wrist. I was a young kid. So I, you know, one of them things for me was I living probably exactly the way the Lord likes you to live? No, but was I asking for forgiveness every day, and was everything led through him? Absolutely. Like I said, there hasn't been a night that I don't go to bed without getting on my two knees and thanking the Lord.
Nice.
So I hope that could answer your question, but I wasn't as matched as much as I'd like.
Well, folks, Savvy, unfortunately, is no stranger to a serious injury, not to mention having had to deal with it right as he was getting started in the NFL. Not that there's ever a good time for an injury, of course. But before I have him talk about that, I heard from someone yesterday via email who was asking me for an address where they could send me a check, and also had some really kind words for the work that I do here. I can't be any more sincere when I say that this is a ministry for me. Don't for a minute confuse what I do with ESPN or Fox Sports or even a local sports talk radio show. Those are all corporate operations with a seemingly endless source of revenue, and it's the exact opposite for me. I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, so there is no source of revenue, which makes it quite challenging for me when it comes to the bills that I get for running all things Catholic Sports Radio, not to mention the initiatives that I'd love to do, but for all intents and purposes usually can't because I'm having to try to find a way out of my own pocket to try to cover any and all related expenses. That being said, I want to remain obedient to what I truly have felt was God's call for me to do this and give back, as we hear them say in church, with my time and talent. I do hope that these conversations I'm having each week are meaningful for the audience and are making an impact in some way, and that it's playing some role in helping in your faith life. I'm blessed that I have had some guests and some listeners make a financial contribution to Catholic Sports Radio. But since the bills do keep coming in, I do sincerely ask you, if you do find value in all that I'm doing through this ministry, if you feel you are getting something out of the work that I'm doing through Catholic Sports Radio, if it is helping you in your faith life, if you believe in these efforts to impact people through the mix of faith and sports and would like to support what I'm doing, I would kindly ask you to help me out. As part of your tithing, do please prayerfully consider a financial contribution. You can use the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's fast, safe, secure, and you type in whatever amount you're comfortable with. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. Or if you're not comfortable with electronic payments, just send me an email via Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net, and I will write you back with details on sending me a check through the mail. I will happily say on the air, by the way, the name of anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount, or as some have asked me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate whatever you can do to help me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Sabby, you get drafted by Tampa Bay. Go Bucks. And yikes. In your rookie season, you broke your right foot and were placed on injured reserve. How devastating was that to have worked so hard to get to the NFL and now you're sidelined? Because I wonder, you know, were you mad at God and saying, why me? Or was it just a case of, I just simply told myself, Bruce, I need to do everything the doctors tell me and everything I can to get back to playing?
You know, that was, how can I describe even those, that 6 month span? That was the prime example of going from the highest of the highest to the lowest of the lowest, feeling-wise. And what I mean by that is this. I was 22 years old, I think 22 or 23. I worked my whole life. I wanted to be a first, second-round pick. I accomplished the amazing dream of being a second-round pick. I actually, almost two dreams coming true. I got drafted back to my home state, and I was so grateful. I was so excited. And then at that moment when my foot broke and I walked in the GM's office and he told me they're going to put me on IR, I just broke down in tears. Mm. And I went to the part of life where I almost went to the low of all lows. And honestly, that was the moment in life that I realized that don't ever put your happiness in any kind of money or any kind of financial state, because I was 23, made the most money I ever made in my life, obviously. And I was depressed and I was sad, and I was just miserable in a sense of I couldn't play football. Mm. And I worked my whole life, and I remember now, you know, I'm a 23-year-old kid. I can't play football. They tell me I can't play football for the rest of the year. My routine is gone. My regiment's gone. I'm making great money for a young kid. I can do whatever I want, but I felt lost. I felt empty.
Wow.
And that was a time of my life where I did rely on my faith. I don't think I ever said, why not, why me, God? Because I was extremely blessed, and I was extremely grateful for what I already accomplished, for what I've done. So I don't think I've ever turned and say, why me? Because that would be a little bit disrespectful of me to say that, for all the blessings he's already given me. Mm-hmm. I was just overlooking it as more of an opportunity to look at why. Why? And to be honest with you, I am a believer that God does everything for a reason if you look at the why. And honestly, me getting hurt that year might have been one of the best things that happened to me, because 2008 was my best season. Mm. And I came back and I was fresh I was very hungry. I was just very, very mindset was just so. And I remember the reason why I say I think it happened for a reason. When you're in college and you're in your senior year, and you go from your senior year to your rookie year in NFL, it's very, very, very busy. You literally go from the bowl game to training for the NFL combine. Before you go to the bowl game, you go to an all-star game, you go to training for the NFL combine, you go to the combine, you get drafted, you go to OTAs, you go to this, wow. You go to that, wow. Then season starts. So you really don't have any time for your body to recover, because you got to remember, in football, you have a six-month recovery season, off-season, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're going from your senior year in college to your rookie year in the NFL, you don't really get that.
Wow.
And I remember being in camp, and I was like starting to get a little run down. I was starting to get fatigued. I was like, what's going on? Like, the season hasn't even started yet. And for me, when I look back on the blessing, I say this because I was so fresh in 2008. I was so hungry. I was so motivated. Maybe I needed 3 or 4 months away from the game to God to say, let's Fab, heal up your body, heal up your mind, get back to your faith a little bit, and really next year, go get it.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, 2008 was by far my best year in NFL with Monty Kiffin and Coach Gruden and the Tampa Bay Bucks. And it was a joy, and it was a great experience. But yeah, that foot injury, in hindsight, it did a lot to my career of dictating, what the rest of my career was. But I think at the moment, for my physical health, it wasn't a bad situation.
Yeah, yeah. Well said. Well said. I know that everyone talks about it's a business, but you got released by the Bucks. I believe you signed the next day with Cleveland. You became a free agent after that season and then signed with Kansas City during the late summer. Simply because so many people think it's so glamorous to be an NFL player, or I should say a pro athlete in any sport for that matter. Can you talk, Sabby, about the mental impact that those transactions have on you, the highs and lows of departing from one team, getting signed by another, and just that emotional roller coaster? People experience similar ups and downs at whatever their non-athletic job is and maybe don't see that you can absolutely relate to what that does to someone spiritually, psychologically, and so on.
Absolutely. That was a very challenging time in my life from the aspect of, really, I was 24-year-old kid, and I remember when I first got to Tampa, I was a high pick, obviously, and right when I got off the plane, they compared me to John Lynch right away. And John Lynch is a Hall of Famer, and he's an incredible safety, and that's kind of setting somebody up for failure. And what I mean by that is this. They don't realize that John Lynch is a Hall of Famer, right? Amazing safety. But if you look at John Lynch's career, John Lynch didn't even start to his, I think, year three and a half. John Lynch, he took time to grow his name, okay? So that being said, when you have a young kid that comes in and they say right away, the next John Lynch, they expect that person to perform like John Lynch did in his prime, which that's not fair because John Lynch also didn't perform like that until years in the NFL.
Yeah.
But I'm just using that as an example. Yeah. It's with any athlete. So that being said, I was under the microscope, let's say, in Tampa. I was a white safety with a lot of upside, a lot of promise, they said. I always had the microscope. I always had the camera on me. So when everything was going good, it was good. I was the man. They loved me. I'm the next this. All of a sudden, it's an old saying, whoever they build up in professional sports, if you win, you're the best. If you lose, you stink. So I was 25 years old, and I know I was getting a lot of buzz. I had a great year. I think I had the number 2 jersey sale in Tampa. I had the banner on the stadium. And all of a sudden, we were not a good football team. We started losing. And I had a lot of backlash to me. It was the person kind of in the media that they were hoping was going to be the next so-and-so. I didn't know how to handle that at 24. I'll be honest with you. It was a shock for me mentally because you start to lose your confidence. You start to lose who you are as a person. You start to believe what somebody negative behind a computer that can't even dream about what you can do for a living, talk crap about you. So it was really, really challenging for me. And I went from a guy who felt like I had it all figured out. I felt like I was doing everything right. And then all of a sudden it came crashing down. And that was a mental struggle. And I can be the first one to say, if I didn't have a good faith, I don't know where I would have ended up. Mm. And that something was rough for me because I took pride in how hard I worked at football. And when a team loses, it's never one man. And I felt like everybody in that city were wanting to blame me. And it was rough because then you start blaming yourself and then this. And for me, it was a struggle. And it was really, really hard. And then actually, when you said something about Tampa, yeah, they didn't release me. I actually asked for a trade for 8 weeks.
Hmm.
And they wouldn't trade me. And then finally, a situation happened against the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday Night Football where we both finally came to the conclusion that it was a good opportunity for both of us to part ways. So they put me on the waiver wire, and that's how I went to Cleveland.
Okay.
That being said, yes, the mental approach to the game is extremely hard. I have a saying that I believe in. I say, the greater the success, the harder the fall. And what I mean by that is people don't realize what professional athletes and even people in everyday society, when you're the great at what you do and you work hard, it's hard when you're a 23-year-old kid and you're in that spotlight because they make you feel that you're something above them, but you're not. Like God says, we're all equal. And it's something that you get caught up in the bubble of something that you're 23 years old, 24 years old, you got cops escorting you to your car, people wearing your jerseys, and then all of a sudden all that shuts off.
Yeah.
Right? You come back to kind of reality. And if you get caught up in that, that will really humble you. You know, the saying that I've always lived by that really, really hit me a lot when I left the NFL was, he who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. And that saying to me really helped me because I was in a bad mental place at like 26, 27 because I went from being one of the best college safeties in the country, high pick, to like now I got almost pushed out of Tampa. And now I went to Kansas City and I kind of redeemed myself and I worked hard. And then a whole situation went down in that situation. They fired the staff and I couldn't get back to the NFL in my prime. And I couldn't figure it out. I was 30 years old. I was in the best shape of my life. I was still a great football player, but I couldn't get back in the NFL. And that really set me in a depression, anxiety at 30 years old.
Oh yeah.
I was lost in life. And I remember that's when I really started to go to church every Sunday again, asking God for answers. And like I just said, the saying that really helped me was, he who humbles himself. And why that kept in my ear was, when WWE called me, they gave me an incredible opportunity to be a professional athlete in two sports, which not many people in the world can ever say they had a chance to be a professional entertainer, athlete in two industries. So I was extremely humbled, extremely blessed. But that being said, I had to start over. And that's very humbling.
I'm sure, but you know, it's not lost on me that you said in the middle of that, you said, that's when I started going to church again. And lo and behold, audience, I'm sure you picked up on it also, that he talks about going to church again, and then he says, and then WWE called me, because I'm sure it is tough to walk away from an NFL career, but it's almost like, here you go, now you're being reborn, your career as a pro athlete, meaning turning to wrestling, and that seems like a real thanking God moment that you feel like you've been given a second chance in sports. I'm not going to say in football, because now you're switching to wrestling.
And you know what? I 100% agree, and that's why I say to you, that saying that I just said twice, for some weird reason, God put it in front of me like three or four times in like a 3-month span.
Wow.
And I didn't realize, this is a true story. He really, really put it in front of me about three or four times in like a 2-3 month span. And I read it a couple, and by the third time, I'm like, okay, God's talking to me right now. What did he say? He's saying, Savvy, humble yourself. Okay, what does this mean? What does this mean? What's he telling me? And I already thought I humbled myself. I said, okay, you know, but, and I'll tell you exactly what it meant. And this is how, this is true evidence that the Lord and Savior will talk to you if you listen, and he'll show you signs if you're looking for him. When WWE called me, Triple H calls me, I didn't know how to wrestle, obviously, right? It's entertainment business.
Yeah.
So you need to learn how to wrestle. That being said, you need to start at the bottom of an industry. Now, you got to remember, I just dedicated my whole life to being the best athlete / football player I could ever become. Mm. I went through the grind. I became at one point, I think I was ranked number 3 safety in the world, in the country. I put in the work to master something, right? I was one of the best at what I did. God blessed me to be one of the best at what I did. Now, they're asking me to go to another industry where I know nothing. I'm the bottom of the barrel. I'm not good. So I had to go from playing in front of 80,000 people, getting escorted to my car, to setting up chairs in front of 100 people for a wrestling show.
Wow.
Setting up a ring. Setting up chairs. I had to carry boards. I had to carry rings. I had to go in the back room and get changed with cockroaches in the room.
Wow.
Right? Then I said to myself, this is what God told me.
Mm.
Humble yourself, it just says. Because it's like I went from, like I said, being in the nicest stadiums in the world, getting escorted to my car, people looking in the stands and people wearing my jersey, to go into an arena, like I said, with 100 people learning how to wrestle. And I was excited to take on that challenge. I was excited, and I was so grateful that God gave me an opportunity to do another professional industry. But that being said, that is a very hard mindset. If you don't have your faith correctly, you don't have your mind right, you can slip into deep, deep depression, deep anxiety.
Yeah.
And that's something where it all comes together for me, that where that saying kept coming in, because I had to work it hard. And it's hard when you're not good at something. I mean, I wasn't good at wrestling for years.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to spend years to learning how to protect yourself, to work in the ring, to roll, the art of it. So that being said, to go back to your mental folks, that's where you really got to stay mentally strong, because life is all about ups and downs with that. So for that, God is the straight backbone of me that keeps me, I think, center grounded for sure.
I love it. Yeah, and for those of you that follow wrestling, you can kind of envision, and I think on Sabby's timeline, FCW had probably gone away and it was NXT and the Performance Center in Orlando, but still, you know, as he just described, playing in Raymond James Stadium in front of 70,000 people and all of a sudden going to the local shows or to the Performance Center and there's a few hundred people there, that'll humble you right away, whether you know what scripture says about it or not. And it sounds like you embrace that. And you know, I've loved our conversation, because it's like one thing that stood out to me, folks, I found Sabby on Instagram and in his bio, he mentions that he's Catholic. And Sabby, I'm not even sure what question I'm leading up to here, but for what it's worth, coming from me, I admire that you are proud to put out there on social media what other athletes might hesitate to put.
Absolutely. I'm not a type of person to push any kind of religious on anybody. That's not who I am. I know some people are really strong about their beliefs and they frown upon other people's beliefs. I just know my belief and how I grew up, and I'm just going to stay in my lane, and I'm very, you know, proud to be a Catholic, and it's something that I believe in, and I believe, more importantly, I believe it's a relationship with the Lord. So for me, I just really hope you have some sort of relationship with a higher power that you believe in that really keeps you grounded.
Yeah, nicely said. And I do have to go back, by the way, to you saying before about when you're this high draft pick and there's all these expectations, and you said they build you up and it ultimately stands a chance of coming. It reminded me of, and we don't watch it the way we used to, but my wife and I used to watch wrestling together, and my wife is actually the one that came up with the expression, he who sets up the table ends up getting put through the table. And so I'm thinking that as you're saying, they build you up as the second round pick, and it's like, oh boy, there's a good chance that this person and these expectations are going to be too lofty.
Well, you know what the problem is too, that I've learned And I kind of heard this saying a lot, you know, the kind of old saying, what you just said, the people who put you on a pedestal are the same people that can take you off the pedestal. So never get too high, never get too low, right? So in hindsight, you know, I actually felt for years, which is such a bad way to look at it, and I'm so grateful I don't have the mindset anymore, but I remember for a couple years, I felt like I had to, like, stick up for myself or everyone talking bad about me a little bit. I'm like, hold on. I'm like, I don't have to stick up for anything. I know what I've done. I know how confident. I know how good of a player I am. The situation I was in or the team I was on or where we're at does not dictate who I am as a person.
That's
even my
right.
performance doesn't dictate who I am as a person.
That's right.
So, and the funny thing is, I'm not a different player or person, right? Like, and the sad reality is, the same guy who wrote the article about me, that I was the next best thing, I had all the special tools, I'm so gifted, I'm so good, is the same guy who told me I sucked 3 weeks later. So I don't understand how 6 weeks ago or 6 months ago I was the next best thing, I was a heck of a football player, and all of a sudden I sucked, get out of Tampa. But no, I'm not any different of a player. But I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about a lot of athletes, a lot of people on social media, and a lot of people that talk about successful people. That, to me, is such a misconstrued thing, right? Like, you hear people say, oh, he's a first-round bust. He's a second-round bust. Okay, people, understand this for a second. If you call somebody a first-round bust or a second-round bust, that means that person was great at what they did to be even in a sentence of a bust. So you're saying to me that all of a sudden that person, it's not that he was a bust. There's other factors that come into play that maybe aren't his control, but maybe not his control, right? So to me, it really bothers me when I even see people on ESPN or talking about a player. Oh, this player didn't pan out the way we thought he was. Well, what do you mean the way you thought he was? Like, you're talking about him already, so that means he's already been extremely successful. He's already been extremely talented. So for you to talk negative about that person, it doesn't look right, right? Like, it just doesn't look right. So for me, I remember when I was young, I thought I had to stick up for myself, but then I was like, I look back now, I'm like, no disrespect, but the person that's telling me I suck probably couldn't do anything near what I did. So, like, it's just you start to lose perceptive of what other people say. And I think that's kind of like what you said back in the beginning of the show, is just like, if you get caught up with what everybody says, you are going to be, your mind's going to be in places you don't want it to be. If you just stay focused on your faith, get in the Bible, and know what you can do, that's really all that matters, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's all that really matters.
Yeah, and whether they were right or wrong with their criticisms, the bottom line is, you were saying in there, it doesn't change who I am as a person. God still loves me, and this doesn't change who Savvy Piscitelli is as just a human being. So don't paint me with that brush just because you're critical of my football career. And so I love that you're singling that out and saying, you're painting me with this brush, and let's make sure we separate who I am as a person with what you think you see on the football field. As we get set to close here, I think there's been some eye-opening moments in our conversation that maybe the audience has been surprised at in a I-can-actually-relate-to-Savvy kind of way. We know there are lots of couples out there that have long-distance relationships and or both partners are exceptionally busy, but we know that God has made us to love one another, and Savvy, you are living that out. I see it in what you and Amanda put out on social media, making sure that you're putting a priority on one another and being grateful for the time you have together and your relationship that you've been blessed with.
Absolutely. I'm extremely blessed to have such an amazing woman like Mandy Rose in my life. She makes me better in every way, and I thank God every day. And for me, our relationship is stronger than ever. We've actually had the blessing to spend a lot of time together the last year and a half, and I think our relationship has grown to new heights. Like I said, it's something that she showed me a whole different aspect of life. And she's brought me happiness I never thought was possible. And for me, as a man, I'm not ashamed to say it, but I was very selfish my goals when I was young. Mm-hmm. I was very selfish in the sense of I wanted to be the best football player, the best athlete. I wanted to have the best career. But that's not how God wants you to live life. And for me, Mandy showed me another aspect of life, of living life with somebody, loving somebody, how much better life can be when you find somebody that has the same mindset as you, same work ethic, the same expectations in life, and make you grow as a man. And that is something I'm so happy to say for the first time in my life, that a woman like that in my life has just focused me in every aspect of my life. And you don't even see anything else when you're so in love with somebody. So for me, Mandy is a blessing. And, you know, as it all ties together, because I still wanted to play football, and I couldn't figure out why I wasn't NFL anymore. But if I never went to WWE, I never would have met Mandy. So for me, it all comes together. And for that, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that, you know, I couldn't understand for years why I couldn't play in NFL anymore. I was still in my prime. I was a heck of a player. But it led me to WWE, which led me to Mandy Rose, which is the love of my life. So for that, I'm extremely humbled and grateful.
Amazing, amazing. That's beautiful and very powerful testimony, too. Sabi, it's been so great having you on the show. Thank you so much for your time. God bless you and Mandy, and I appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Thank you for having me, man. Appreciate you.
Folks, we heard that Sabi was a very accomplished baseball player, his years in the NFL, his years as a pro wrestler. So I thought we would close out this week's episode with the prayer to Saint Sebastian, who is the patron saint of athletes. And we'll do it, of course, together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear commander at the Roman Emperor's court, you chose to be also a soldier of Christ and dared to spread faith in the King of Kings, for which you were condemned to die. Your body, however, proved athletically strong and the executing arrows extremely weak. So another means to kill you was chosen, and you gave your life to the Lord. May athletes be always as strong in their faith as their patron saint so clearly has been. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.